good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Kyle Tosk sitting in today for Derek Piper. Pipes, of course, in Omaha. I'm trying to figure out, like, I've seen so many games from so many different places that all of a sudden in my mind, I'm like, where's Illinois? So they're in Omaha, and of course, the Illini advance. So Pipes sticking around, and he will join Kyle today at 4:30. Excited about that to get his thoughts on not only the game yesterday that Illinois won 85-69, pulling away in the second half, but also on the next game, which we found out is a later start on Saturday. Hallelujah! 6:40 tip against Duquesne, who of course upset BYU and really kind of led that game wire to wire against the Cougars. So
no need to complain about the draw anymore.
No,
it sets up as perfect as you can ask for. Morehead State and Duquesne stands in your way of a second weekend appearance now, so it's all on you, Illinois.
That's pretty impressive. I know I didn't go back through the annals of Illinois basketball. I know there's been times, even the 05 Final Four National Championship runner-up year where they ended up playing Wisconsin-Milwaukee and got a break there. But I don't – and maybe that's the year. But it's funny how sometimes, you know, you might play a higher-seeded team first, but then, of course, you normally play the better team. But and who knows? Morehead State might just flat-out be the better team. Or, I'm sorry, Duquesne might just be the better team. But it seems like a team Illinois should be able to handle. I'll put it that way. They're an 11 seed. The Illini score 85 points. If you watch the first half of the Northwestern game today, you almost set yourself back about 50 years of basketball because Florida Atlantic and Northwestern were struggling just hold on to the basketball, let alone score points. But that ended up being a higher scoring game at the end. We'll go through some of the scores today. I know some of you maybe are recording some of these or you don't want to know the scores. So when we get to that point, I don't know if people still do that. I do it on occasion. So I have to assume that somebody out there is doing it. But when we get to that point, we'll let you know that we're going to go through that. But first things first, Illinois, Kyle, 46 points in the second half. They outscored the Eagles 46-31 to kind of run away with that game late and went at 85-69. They were only up 1 point at half, 39-38. Morehead State came out. They took the lead for a little bit in that second half. I'm going to brag about myself for 1 second, and then I want your thoughts. While watching that game yesterday, it seems like all the years that I've been around to watch basketball, and you're playing a team that is looking for an upset, that is a heavy underdog, it seems like if you can just get a little bit of a lead, just a little bit of separation, it puts a lot of pressure then on the other team, on the underdog, to all of a sudden say, uh-oh, this thing's slipping away. So Mom and I were watching this game in St. Joe because Andrew had a game at 4:30 right after, and I kept telling Mom, if we could just get like a 2-point lead and then drop a 3 to get it to 5, I would feel so much better. And finally, that happened. Illinois had a 2-point lead. Luke Goody nails the 3 from the corner, and then Illinois goes on a 20-5 run, and I believe 15 of those points were by Dane Danger, who was just outstanding in that game. Dane Danger, of course, a beast yesterday off the bench with 21 points in the game, 8 rebounds. He was 9-for-9 from the floor. His only blemish to a perfect day, he was 3-for-4 from the free throw line. How dare he miss that free throw? But Illinois just kind of got that 5-point lead, and then Dane went crazy. And the next thing you know, you were kind of in a comfort zone because Morehead State started to panic. Kyle, you're only up 1.5, and I asked you when I walked through the door today, I'm like, how were your nerves yesterday? You said a little bit nervous at halftime, and I think you weren't alone in that.
Yeah, that 15-minute halftime was one of the longer 15-minute periods that I've had here recently, just waiting. Like, it felt like Morehead State had played so well in the first half, and you just wanted to see Illinois come out, and you didn't want to go into the break in that type of tight game. You wanted to see them come out and grab a lead and put you at ease a little bit and give them credit. Yeah, that stretch from about the 16-minute mark to the 12-minute mark of the second half, wow, is what changed the game, because if you let Morehead State continue to hang with you and is right in the game. Once you get under 10 minutes and under 8 minutes, that's how these upsets happen. That's
no doubt.
How that lower seeded team feels like they can play with you. All the confidence is on their side. All the pressure is on Illinois' side. And luckily, Illinois never let it get to that point because of that huge run in the second half. And, yeah, that shot by Luke Goody was huge. But Dane Danger coming in and for the second time in a week here just being – pretty much the reason you won the game.
Sure.
With his spark off the bench, and he's been outstanding. It's been awesome to watch him, and it feels like once he gets one to go and gets a second one to go, then just get him the ball and he'll throw one from 28 feet off one leg and it'll find a way to go in. That's how he was playing yesterday. So that was just a huge stretch of the game, and great work by Illinois to come out in the second half and take care of it and make it a stress-free finish.
I'm glad you mentioned off one leg, because I think his shot of the day was that spin.
Yep.
I think he spun on the left-hand side and throws one up off the backboard, and it wasn't a slop shot. I mean, he had a nice form to it, but certainly when that went in, I'm like, oh, yep, it's definitely Dane's day, and here we go. Yeah, look, Morehead State came out on fire.
Lathan, 9-0 start in like a minute and a half. Right. Oh, boy.
They hit three threes, I believe. Lathan hit two in that. But, of course, it all kind of equaled out. Morehead State did go 12 for 26 from three, so 46%, which is a nice clip for any team, and you certainly don't want to be giving up 46% from three-point land, especially for an Illini team. I'm sorry, I'm reading Illinois stats. Morehead State, shot 11 of 30, so they shot 37% from the three. But early on in that game, it was like, wait a minute, I thought we were notorious for being able to guard this three-point line, but certainly you got to give Morehead State credit. They came out like the team that has been there before, and they really showed some confidence early in that game. And like you mentioned, that run in the second half was big. I thought Illinois did a good job with that. Marcus Damask just quietly amasses a triple-double. It's only the 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history. It's the first time an Illini has ever done it in the NCAA tournament. I can't remember the last time an Illinois player did it. I thought I had read that somewhere. Did you hear?
Just had a triple-double in general?
Yeah.
It was Io DeSunmu back in 2021.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because there's been three of them, I think, in program history. They've all been under Brad Underwood's
watch. Well, actually, didn't Coleman have one?
Did he have one?
He might have. He had one against Syracuse last year.
Okay.
He did. I remember that one. Yeah. So it actually was Coleman last year. Was
okay.
The last
so
triple
it was
double.
Coleman, Io, and now Marcus Damask have all amassed triple doubles. My mom asked me what that meant yesterday. And I'm like, well, if you, of course, score past double digits, so 10 or more, or if you have 10 or more assists, or if you have 10 or more rebounds, I don't know that they give that to you for steals. I guess if you...
It's a triple-double for any of the five.
Stats. So okay.
There's been a few big men that have gotten it with blocks before.
So. Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, so there you go. So you can... But routinely, the triple-double or the double-double normally, which we saw Kofi do almost every game, is double-digit scoring and rebounding. But Damask yesterday put together 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. You have post-game you're going to run next hour. And it's pretty funny. I don't know if you've got the one where Damask said that when he was close to the triple-double but needed like four more points, he said that Terrence Shannon was on him hard to start shooting and get it. And he said, if not, we're going to fight. So I think that's pretty funny. There's things you can clip of this game, Kyle, and I kind of want to review that. And, of course, if you want to weigh in on the U of I Line and Lake text line, that's 217-359-2255, 359-2255. Derek Piper will join us later today at 4:30 on the Tapman's Towing phone line. But a couple of things to dissect early. How about Terrence Shannon? I mean, you know, unbelievable. The entire game was unbelievable. 26 points, 4 assists. He only grabbed 2 rebounds, but we'll let it go. 3 for 9 from the 3-point distance, and of course 9 for 16 from the field. But 26 points for Terrence Shannon, and early on he was your everything. And he was the one guy that didn't look tight coming out of the locker room there. Not before half, but to just start the game after the tip. What did you think of his performance? I mean, he was just dominant again, and it was almost like a guy that felt like he got snubbed for All-American honors, and he came out wanting to prove it to everybody.
It felt that way for the last week or so, no question. I mean, this is a pretty unbelievable run that Terrence has been on when you consider the stage and the stakes that these performances are happening, the three-game stretch in the Big Ten tournament, and then he comes out, has 19 first-half points in the NCAA tournament, and he just sets the tone for Illinois. Like, Morehead State came out, had that 9-0 run where they made three threes, and Terrence Shannon answered it with 5 or 7 points of his own to really just stem the tide there. And there's one point where he had like 15 points and all four other starters had 0 combined. So you'd like to give him a little bit of help a little earlier than Illinois did yesterday, but he's just been so good. And when he's aggressive and when he's attacking downhill and when he's getting out in transition off misses, there's no one that can stop him. You're either going to foul him or he's going to score. And when that three-point shot is working for him as well, there's really no flaw to his offensive game. Now, it feels like he, in the second half and even late in the first half, did settle a little bit too much. I just love to see him continue to attack, because that's when he saw the 40-point game the other day where he was just relentless. But that 19 first-half points is the reason Illinois was able to have a lead going into halftime. And it's just, if you got a guy that dominant and that good, Illinois is going to have a chance anytime they go out there. They're going to have a chance in any game they play the rest of this tournament, because they're always going to have the best player on the floor, maybe unless you run into Purdue. So it's been pretty remarkable to see the level that Terrence has been at recently.
It's been unbelievable. And, of course, the Illini advance now to face a Duquesne team. We'll try to get you some idea of what Duquesne – I'm sure a lot of you were able to watch that Duquesne-BYU game. And, again, they were – basically leading that game wire to wire in that matchup against BYU. The Cougars could not score from the outside, and that was kind of their MO coming in, that they could knock down shots from deep, and they just kind of had an off day when it came to three-point shots. They had some open looks in the second half that would not go down. They made it a game with Johnson getting a double-double. Robinson had a big game for BYU, but Duquesne was able to do enough to hold on. And of course, their coach used to coach LeBron James. Kind of a cool story that LeBron James sent everyone on the Duquesne team brand new sneakers. And I know their guard was wearing them yesterday, is what they said during the game as they took down Duke. That was, I believe, their first, what they say, that was their first win of an NCAA tournament game since 1969. I know they were in it in 1977. But it's been a long stretch, and of course, now you start to worry, Kyle. Is this the dream team, right? Like you saw last year with Florida Atlantic. You don't want that to be the case. Anytime one of these higher seeds get through to the second round, it's like, uh-oh, which one is on a path, right, to making history? The George Masons of the past, Florida Atlantic, of course. There's been plenty of examples of teams that have done that.
And you've got the storyline with Keith Dambrot, their coach, retiring. So it's like
about ready to have a grandson or a grandkid.
He's going to retire off into the sunset after Duquesne runs through BYU, Illinois, Iowa State, UConn, or go to the Final Four.
Oh, my. Well, listen, nobody thought FAU would do that last year, and they certainly did. In fact, losing on a last-second shot to San Diego State, or they would have been playing for the national title. Of course, FAU loses today. Shout out to Brenda Ludwig. She is my she's my fact checker. I said 6:40 on the game. It's 7:40 tomorrow night, correct? I was thinking when I looked at the times that those were Eastern times, but that is correct. Thank you, Brenda. 7:40 is the tip for the Illini and Duquesne. I was shocked that Illinois got a late game. I'll be honest with you. I know I had told you that I'm emceeing a Illinois Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame banquet tomorrow at noon, and I was in a panic. Mark Herman and I were both in a panic saying, uh-oh, Illinois is going to be playing that early game since they had the early game yesterday. But finally, Illinois catches a little break, and so does Lon, with regards to being able to get a little rest because, you know, as mentioned, I had a little beef with the committee that put or with the TV, whatever, the tournament itself, that Illinois played the latest game you could play on Sunday and then played one of the earliest games on Thursday. That didn't seem fair. Well, now they get a few more hours rest, I guess, before that. What's weird on Saturday is the two early games feature West Coast teams. Two-seed Arizona, which is an 11:45 start for us. That's like 9:45. I believe they're 2 hours behind us in Arizona. And then Gonzaga is the 2:15 game, which isn't bad. That's 11:15. They should be awake by then, but it is.
Those games are in Salt Lake City as well. So
I was very shocked that Salt Lake City didn't get the latest start times, or at least later in the afternoon. and that it went to Omaha, but we'll take it. We'll for sure take it on that.
Why is the schedule so weird for the round of 32 also, where you have one standalone game at 11:45, then you have the other game at that location, and then you pack in the other six games within like 3 hours of each other? Let's start like a new game every hour so that we got something going on. What if Arizona's up 28 on Dayton? I got nothing to do.
Exactly. You know what? It's like baseball. It's like opening day rolls around and your team wins and you're fired up, and then it's like, oh, we're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, come on. I want to watch baseball. I've been waiting all year for this. I want to watch baseball every night. And all of a sudden after the opener, they take the next day off. I know they do that because they want to get the home opener in. That's always a special thing for every baseball team. But yeah, you're right. And it seems like every year they do it like this, and it's just kind of weird. And you're right, because like you said, if Arizona gets up big in that game, then it's like, well, I got nothing else to watch. At least on these days, yesterday and today, you only have to wait about 15, 20 minutes and the next game has begun. Then you wait another 20 minutes and the third game has begun. And all of a sudden, it's almost like too much because you're trying to figure out what game you're watching, what game you're recording, how you're keeping track of stuff. And it is kind of funny, but you're right. Dayton, Arizona will start things off tomorrow at 11:45 a.m., followed by Gonzaga and Kansas at 2:15, and then Michigan State, North Carolina is at 4:30. Michigan State, of course, a Big Ten team. Washington State, Iowa State, that's maybe a team Illinois fans need to hone in on. If you beat Duquesne, you'll play the winner of that game between Washington State and Iowa State. That will occur next week in Boston. And then at night, you've got Oakland. Whoa, we can talk about that for a second, against NC State. So you got a 14-11 going on there. And then Texas, Tennessee is at 7. Duquesne, Illinois at 7:40. Oregon and Creighton will wrap it up tomorrow night at 8:40. Now, has an 11 seed played yet today? Who's the fourth 11 seed? I don't have the bracket in front of me.
It's New Mexico playing against Clemson. They're down 14 at half.
Okay. So far, the 11 seed's 3-0. Remember when it used to be cool that the 12 seed always got the upset?
Yeah.
It used to be always the 12 over 5. You wanted to pick at least two of those. It happened every year. Well, that has now shifted to where the 11 and 6 is more or less your upset special during the tournament. Back to Illinois. I mean, when you go through, obviously, Damask does his thing. Just solid throughout the entire game, putting up the stats, getting the rebounds, obviously the assists. I thought Coleman played well. He had a couple big shots early in that game when you needed him. And then, of course, we talked about Dane and Terrence Shannon. You didn't get much out of Gary A. Quincy kind of looked
him
really
and Ty
tight.
Both.
Yeah.
Just really gave you nothing.
But doesn't that speak to what Illinois can do to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. And of course, let's don't forget Luke Goody, our guy, who came in off the bench and hit 3-for-4 from three-point land. He looked very confident. I know Jeremy Warner wrote a piece in the Illini Inquirer about how Goody is just kind of, or at least he had a comment on it, how Goody is just stepping up in the NCAA tournament play. And if you look back, his freshman year, when Illinois lost to Houston, that game was just kind of so out of control. And the two guys that made the biggest impact in that game were freshmen, Luke Goody and RJ Melendez. And then last year, Goody was about the only guy, it appeared, that wanted to show up for the game against, what, Arkansas?
Uh-huh.
In that first-round loss. And, of course, Arkansas went on to upset Kansas, the one seed, and move on in that tournament. So then Goody yesterday comes out, hits a 3-for-4 from distance. And, yeah, I mean, Luke, he doesn't hesitate when it comes to the big shot, does he? And I'm excited, hopefully, that Illinois can beat Duquesne for many reasons, but that one of the top reasons is I want to talk to Luke again next week. I think we would anyway. We will probably anyway, but I want
much different tone to the interview. Yes. Illinois wins versus loses.
I want to talk to him following another win over Duquesne, and then a chance to advance to the Sweet 16, which would be the first time since 2005, and then of course a battle with Iowa State or Washington State in that one.
Yeah, I know that Illinois this team's ceiling is further than just beating Duquesne on Saturday. Like, there's no reason this team shouldn't be right in the game against Iowa State and compete versus UConn. I mean, when this team's playing their best, they're a Final Four caliber team, in my opinion. However, won't it kind of feel like Illinois is like going to the Final Four when they beat Duquesne on Saturday? Just because it felt like we've talked about this every year of the Underwood era, and just the streak has grown of years without even making it to the second weekend. And even during the regular season success that we've had as well, are we going to win two games in the tournament? And Lante's gone on his two games rant multiple times.
Right.
Won't it feel like this? I know it's only a Sweet 16. You're only beating Duquesne, but won't it feel so much bigger than that if Illinois can win on Saturday? I just think it's going to be a huge moment if Illinois is able to win that game.
You bring up a good point that I want to hit on. My buddy Kevin just texted and said 10 or more turnovers also could count on a double-double. That was the Tay double-double back in the day.
Corbello probably had one of those.
Right? I'd usually get to 10 points, but I'd usually turn it over quite a bit against any kind of pressure in that crazy little local talent back in the day in the 80s. But he's right there. But, yeah, you say that, and I had made a comment, I believe it was last week with you and Piper, that the tricky part with this team is the idea that, yes, you want to shake that Sweet 16, right? You want to update the status. I've always liked to say in my 14 years on the air here at Stevie J Broadcasting, I love updating stats. And when you update the stats from 05 now to 2024, and now you can say, well, Illinois was in the Sweet 16 last year. So then it sounds a lot better going forward when you're in Florida eating a couple, eating a lobster, talking to the people next to you, and they're like, oh, you guys Illinois fans? I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we were in the Elite Eight last year. You know, you can wear that with pride, right? But it is funny that, as I mentioned to you guys, yes, I want that, right? I want to get that Sweet 16. But I feel like you have the kind of team, and you kind of just said it, you have the team that is built to go further than the Sweet 16. So while in a way it's like, well, Lon, you should be happy that they, you know, if they make the Sweet 16, anything after that is gravy. I don't look at it like that, Kyle. I really don't. Because this is, now, if that would have happened to last year's team, like I mentioned, if last year's team would have made the Sweet 16, I think in my mind, now listen, I would have continued to want to win, but in my mind, I would have thought to myself, okay, anything else is gravy. This team made the Sweet 16. They were kind of up and down all year. But this team, to me, has the potential to make an Elite Eight run or possibly even a Final Four, though it appears would be a yeoman effort against probably a UConn team who's the highest seed in this tournament. But you get where I'm going there. It's almost like, yeah, making the Sweet 16 will feel good. And I'm with you. If you win Saturday, that there will be a nice special feeling to that, Kyle. And the one thing, you're so young, you know, you haven't experienced this at all. It's like another week of talking about your team nationally. And that's cool, right? When you turn on the TV or you read articles on the University of Illinois, of course, it'll all be articles on Terrence Shannon, I can promise you, in a negative light. That they're just you know, biting at the, or waiting so bad to like publish these stories about that, I promise you. But the point is, normally you get like an extra week then to talk about your team. That week seems to last forever. Like, I'm just telling you right now, if you're worried about having only one game to watch tomorrow until the next one starts, wait until Illinois hopefully beats Duquesne. Kyle, this next week, it'll get to Wednesday and you'll feel like it's been 6 days. Because you'll be like, why are we not playing already? That's the hard part, is having to wait for that Sweet 16 game. But you're right. I mean, I just think, and I'll let you chat on this, I just think this team's built for more than just Sweet 16. Now, if they can get past an Iowa State team, let's say, and get to the Elite Eight, to me, then it's gravy, right? To me, because of who you're playing, unless for some reason UConn would get dropped by Auburn, and Auburn's good, so it's not like I would expect a blowout of, you know, for Illinois in that game. But I think if you got to the Elite Eight for this team, and I know I feel like I'm being selfish here and greedy, but it's like this team is built to go to an Elite Eight. They're one of the oldest teams experience-wise. They've been in between that 10 to 14 ranking all season, so there's no reason why they can't threaten into an Elite Eight. I just think this team is built to do that and not just say at the end of the year, congratulations, you made the Sweet 16. You did everything we thought you should do. Is that fair to them?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I think all season long, the ceiling of this team has been higher than that. And the flashes that we've seen, and when this team's been at their best, they've been capable of being a national contender for a Final Four, whatever it is. But my point was more so like it'll just feel like such a weight off of this entire program's shoulders if they can win that game on Saturday. And obviously, right after that, you're going to look forward and say, well, why not beat Iowa State? Let's go to a Final Four now. We're here. Let's win. And Illinois should have an opportunity to win further. But it's the last thing you wanted to see with this team and the way that things set up was this another year of underachieving in March.
Sure.
And it feels like if Illinois beats Duquesne, obviously you'll beat Morehead State and Duquesne. So a loss in either of those games would probably be kind of catastrophic for you. But it'll just feel like this team did what it should have done. And, you know, if you lose a two-point game to a two-seeded Iowa State team in the Sweet 16 that goes down to the wire, I don't think anybody is going to be calling for Brad Underwood's head like they do every year and say, what a failure of a season.
He's never been out of the second round.
And obviously, if you lose to Duquesne, absolutely that will happen. So a Sweet 16 appearance and getting to the second week and just getting there, while this team is capable of more and absolutely can go further, it'll feel a little bit bigger to Illinois than it would a lot of other programs
to me.
And that's kind of where I was going with that. So it just feels like it's such a huge 40 minutes on Saturday that is going to take so much pressure off of this entire program from Brad Underwood down. And so I think it's a big one for sure. But obviously, I think you're absolutely right. This team is capable of more. And if Illinois beats Duquesne, we're going to be looking ahead to more, and this team probably is in a position to have a really good chance for more.
I totally agree. Now, I would still be proud of this team, especially if they made it to a Sweet 16. It's been a unique year where you've had a lot of guys coming in new with Guerrier, Damask, Harmon. Who else? Is that it, I guess? But you've thrown a lot of pieces together, and it worked splendidly. You have a really good Purdue team that took the Big Ten. I don't think there's any fluke to that whatsoever. That was exactly what I expected to happen, and it happened. But this Illinois team finishing alone in second place in the Big Ten, that's nothing to scoff at. Then, of course, you get the banner by winning the Big Ten basketball tournament. So you get that championship to add to your credentials if you're Brad Underwood with regards to the Big Ten. I mean, Brad Underwood has come in and dominated the Big Ten. And I understand that dominated might mean that he's won the regular season every year he's been here. That's not realistic. He has done some amazing things in the Big Ten. Most wins for a program. How many times have we heard that over the last 3 years in the Big Ten? Now you've got three banners essentially in the last 4 years with a regular season title and two tournament titles. He has done everything you could ask for and more as a head coach at Illinois when it comes to conference play. And that's a big part of it. That's the bulk of your schedule, right? 20 games and then another three or four or maybe even five in the Big Ten tournament. So that is probably 70% of your season. And his teams have done extremely well in that bulk of the schedule. It's just the end that has been kind of the hiccup, if you will, for Brad Underwood. And, you know, I think our buddy Isaac Trotter tweeted out yesterday about as well as you can say it, 14 Morehead State, 11 Duquesne, no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuses, right? I know Duquesne's good. I know they looked good against BYU. There are no excuses for Illinois not to come out and win that game by double digits tomorrow and advance to the Sweet 16 and then take your chances probably against an Iowa State squad, unless Washington State can go on another run. Didn't they? No, that was that Oregon State or Washington State back when Illinois lost to Loyola? That was Oregon State, wasn't it, that went to the Elite Eight?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's who you would have played, I believe, and they were a high seed in that one. I wanted to go through a few of these texts that have come in on the U of I Alani Lake text line. 217 said 24-year-olds get 3 days off. It doesn't come easy. You have to meet your opponents head on. You have to beat great teams to achieve the pinnacle. And you're right. I mean, look. Heck, you give me 3 days off and I'm energized, let alone these guys. Brian said Duquesne has big, thick guards who can flat out shoot it. I agree. I know, what is it, Clark and who's the Day-Day or something?
Day-Day Grant.
Yep. Day-Day Grant. Day-Day Grant almost cost them the game. Like, he was almost throwing that game away for them with bad shots and kind of not in, like, not timely shots for them. That was kind of weird, but he's definitely a good good year for or a good player, excuse me, for Duquesne. 2-1-7 down year for the Big Ten, huh? 3-0 so far. That's right. Michigan State got it done early. Northwestern got it done early today. It's funny how two Big Ten teams led off the action yesterday and today, with Michigan State looked really good. Aikens looked really good.
They do it every year.
They do.
Every year. Why would I pick against them?
I had a thought yesterday. Like, I give Tom Izzo all the credit in the world. I think he's an incredible coach. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a guy that I'll always go down as saying he's one of the best coaches I've ever watched. But that wasn't Tom Izzo yesterday. They just were flat out playing
great
basketball.
No, and it's not. That's the annoying thing. And Piper would tell you the same thing, because I know he shares the thought. It's like, yes, Tom Izzo is absolutely a Hall of Famer and a fantastic basketball coach, but he's been so stubborn the last 4 years and has refused to change with the times and has refused to go to the portal and refused to adapt to college basketball. And in the regular season, his rosters and his team success has shown that, but he sneaks into the tournament, gets one or two wins, and it feels like everybody forgets that, and he's Mr. March shows up again. Tom Izzo outsmarted everybody else. He knows what he's doing, and it's like, well, does he really, or did he win one game in the tournament? Like, that's the one annoyance I have, is like, this Michigan State team has been so flawed all season. Right. I hope that, you know, even if they beat North Carolina, I hope that the narrative isn't like, well, Tom Izzo beats everybody again.
Yeah, here we
go.
Where
were all these people criticizing him for not getting a center? Well, I mean, they lost 14 games. So.
Exactly. Kyle, I hope you take a few things from me when you move on in your career, and you're going to have an outstanding career in this. I hope there's one or two things that you can look back and say, oh, yeah, Lon used to do this, and I really picked that up. One thing that I hope you don't take away is my work ethic. Even though I feel like I've worked hard my whole life, you know, like the last 14 years, two jobs, you know, I'm doing my thing. But I've always said, like, these coaches, and I read today on the Inquirer, they had the top 20 paid coaches in the country. Brad Underwood is one of them. But Tom Izzo makes like $6.2 million a year. And his contract states that when he's got a lifetime contract with Michigan State. So basically he can coach till he says, I'm out. Or probably if something would go really wrong off the court, or if there was some kind of an issue, you know, in the legal system, or, you know, things like that, obviously, that they could terminate the contract. But the point is, I read today that Izzo can coach as long as he wants. Then the next year, when he finally retires from coaching, he's going to take a position inside Michigan State University and make the same salary for one more year. So even if he's not coaching, the first year he's not, he's going to be working for Michigan State, making like 6.2, and then it's like an annual pay of like $900,000. Why the hell do you want to keep working? I mean, you're making $6 million a year. If you haven't saved enough money to go live on a beach, come on. Or if you want to go live in Wyoming and live in a cabin in the middle of the forest and shoot deer and, you know, I don't know. I mean, why? That's where I say, I guess my work ethic isn't that great, because if you handed me a winning lottery ticket of $200 million tomorrow, the last thing I'm doing is working. It's just that simple. I am going to be somewhere enjoying the rest of my life and probably inviting everybody down to do it with me, close to the blue waters. All right, you can call me Sal. Said I almost barfed watching the Northwestern game, especially when they won. Here we got one texter that's big on the Big Ten going 3-0, and then Sal just poo-poos it. Heath, they said Illinois had 6 triple-doubles in their history, 4 under Underwood, Marcus, Coleman, and Io twice. That makes more sense. Like, it's hard for me to believe in the storied history of Illinois basketball there wouldn't be more than 3. So I don't know where I read that, but I appreciate that. Randy, Luke Goody played great defense on their stud. Does he have any eligibility? Perfect replacement for Damask. Yeah, Goody's got another year.
He's talking about Riley Minix.
Oh. I'm sorry. I misread that. My fault, Randy.
He does not. He spent 4 years at Southeastern, an NAIA program, and now fifth year at Morehead State, but he is good, man.
Oh, he's very good. He's strong, too. I kept and when we had their voice, Chris Meraz, on, the voice of the Eagles, he said that they think he's one of the strongest kids for his size in the country, and you could tell he's a strong kid. Yeah, you know, he's got a little bit of the Mike Dom vibe. Do you remember him that played for that, South Dakota State or something?
That's right.
And then played for the TBT Illini team that one time. Adam wants me to do the CBS sports bit. You got to wait till next week. Like, I've got to get a few more frustrations in with the commercials every 2 seconds, and then I'll unleash on that, Adam. I even had a buddy of mine that lives in Ohio who I used to work television with. He sent a group text out to all of our fantasy football guys, and he goes, oh, it's that time of year where Lon gets ticked off because the CBS takes a commercial immediately as soon as the ball goes out of bounds underneath one of those timeouts. And it's like, come on. You have to go already. Big Dev texted in Monday how unimpressed I was with BYU, and obviously awesome to get to play the Dukes. Just get to second weekend. Beyond that, let the chips fall where they may. Absolute crapshoot that is the tourney. I know someone had texted earlier saying they want the Elite Eight or bust. Mark, the only common opponent I found was Nebraska, who they lost to by 10. Who would he be
That's
talking
Duquesne.
About? That's Duquesne. Okay. Yep. So Duquesne lost to Nebraska by 10. A lot of common opponents with Morehead State. As we mentioned, they played Indiana, they played Purdue, and they played Penn State. Lost to all of those, but gave Indiana a battle. Wade, have you seen all the Twitter talk about Louisville wanting to hire Brad? I've seen a little bit of it. And look, Louisville, they're a proud basketball program. I mean, I can see them putting together a pretty nice package, but you're talking Brad Underwood is one of the top, 10 paid coaches in the country? Or at least top 20. I think he's top 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure with every win, I know winning the Big Ten tournament, I think, added another year on his contract. So
yes, it did.
Brad's going to be here, I think, as long. And you know what? We've been burnt before. Every college base has been burnt before when it comes to that stuff. But there was something the way Brad said it when he was hired here. You know, he was an assistant at Western Illinois for years, and he made that comment that, you know, from afar, I always watched and wondered what it would be like to coach at the University of Illinois, because it's the flagship, you know, program in the state of Illinois. And he always kind of thought to himself, I think you could do really big things there. So I don't know. You know, Illinois treated Brad pretty well here, and obviously he's given it back, especially in that conference record. Now it's just getting him past this second game, and certainly he will be a guy that deserves a cold, cold beer on that flight home from Omaha when that ends tomorrow night, hopefully. Matt, okay, crazy, or how crazy are Kentucky fans going? Oh, my.
Coach Calipari's house needs to have like 24/7 security around it.
Oh, Lord. I heard there's a buyout. His buyout's $33 million.
Yep.
So Greg Campy, the coach at Oakland, came to play Illinois. This was way back, like 10 years ago. It was the game, and I think everybody will remember
this. They played us this year as well.
Yeah, they played this year. But it was the game where they used a girls' basketball. They used a ladies' basketball for the first, like, 4 minutes of the game, right? Do you remember this? You would have been, like, 5.
I don't.
But they did that, and then they stopped the game and realized what was happening. And I was sitting courtside. I had gotten a press pass for that when I was sitting with Jeremy Werner. And he and I both made the comment to each other. We're like, man, that Greg Campy's a hell of a coach. And here he is still coaching. I think he makes $395,000 a year. Like, Chen Coleman makes $600,000. So the Kentucky assistant is making double almost what the head coach of Oakland is. Now, that shouldn't be that surprising if you understand the dynamics and the finances of college basketball and big-time programs like Kentucky. But it does make you kind of pause when you see something like that, and certainly an unbelievable win. Ken, this is the text of the day, and then we got to take a break on the U of I Line and Lake text line. Ken said, if Underwood goes to Louisville, Sky Clark may transfer back to Illinois. We could get Sky back. Does anybody want him? He's pretty good. I mean, I guess
he's had some good games this year, but
he has.
Team is horrendous.
I think Sky was one of the first to kind of congratulate Illinois on a Big Ten tournament, I think. Was that him?
That was him.
So that was cool that he did that, for sure. All right, let's catch a break. When we come back, we'll kind of go through a little bit of our thoughts on Duquesne. Again, Derek Piper will join Kyle at 4:30. I'm bailing again today for another baseball game.
Andrew Tay on the bump.
I think he's on the bump today, so I'm going to try to bust it over to Georgetown.
Sweet.
And a lot of, not a really – the only straight shot to Georgetown via Philo is just country roads. And the country road that I need had a train on it an hour ago, and it didn't look like it was going anywhere. So I'm needing – if anybody out there is working with UP or Canadian or whatever that train – whatever that is, can you please have them move it past the crossing, because I got to get through. I've got a game to attend. That's important, Kyle. 359-2255. Sorry, 359-2255. Let's catch a break. It is The Drive.
Join us for the third annual Inspire Your Wedding Showcase at the Orpheum, Saturday, March 23rd, 2 to 5 p.m. in Champaign, Illinois. With the passion for the wedding industry, I wanted to bring a different format to Central Illinois vendors and couples. Our premier wedding expo is an interactive, immersive, and inspirational experience to connect, learn, and book wedding vendors, as well as learn new 2024 trends, get inspired table design looks, bridal, groom, mom fashion ideas, and walk away with a swag bag filled with goodies. Head to inspireyour.com to get your showcase ticket.
Looking for a place to host a corporate meeting, intimate gathering, or a large-scale celebration? If so, the University of Illinois' Alice Campbell Alumni Center offers the perfect space and staff to make your function a success. A few rooms offered at the center include the elegant ballroom, the Richmond Family Gallery, and the premier and professional executive boardroom. For more information on renting a space at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center, visit uiaa.org/alumni-center or call 1-800-355-2586. Go Illini!
Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery has store-wide savings as they celebrate their anniversary. Installation is half off Mohawk waterproof luxury vinyl floors. The installation is free on Mohawk carpet. And get up to $1,000 of instant rebates on Mohawk carpet and floors. Instant rebates on all furniture. Plus, buy it all with 2 years free financing. Don't miss the anniversary sale going on now at Carpet Weavers.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I always hate saying this. I know we all don't appreciate the day, but it's coming. Tax day, the deadline to file, April 16. It's quickly approaching. Taxes, let Busey help you with expert advice and innovative products and services. They remind you to avoid costly penalties and keep money in your pocket. You can contribute to retirement accounts like an IRA, etc., by April 16th, and you get a little bit of a bonus for that. Organize your records. May not save you cash. It'll save you time and stress. And file electronically. The stat here is that less than 1% of electronic returns have errors compared to 20% of paper returns. Now, the annual taxpayer receives nearly $3,000 back. They suggest you use that money to pay down bad debt, build savings, or maybe establish an emergency fund. These tax laws are complex and they change frequently. The experts at Busey suggest you consult your tax advisor before making investment and tax decisions. Just visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations to get started today on your maximum refund. Busey, they're always there, and they're always there for you. Member FDIC. There's nothing like the nerves of an NCAA tournament game when you find yourself down 9-0 right off the bat.
I know. I was staring at my screen like, is this really what's going to happen today? They're going to shoot 900% from three and it's going to end that way? Really?
There's always things like during my lifetime. By the way, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. Kyle Toss, Derek Piper joining Kyle at 4:30. I always do this. Kyle, otherwise, I've had a great life. I have two healthy kids. You know, I've been lucky. I've been fortunate to work in an industry like this and television, which is I really love to do. I've got a great job with the insurance agency. I get to do this. I mean, I've just had a great life, right? So it's funny, sometimes when I know that the stress is coming with, like, losing a game like that, and I know for some people they probably laugh and say, really, it's like you lost a game. You know, that's like way down on the list of important things in life. But for people like you and I, And for a lot of people, especially those listening right now, it is a big deal to us.
Yeah.
It is a major deal. So when Illinois was down in that game in the first half, I think they had fallen behind by like three, and it seemed like Morehead State was just doing everything right. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, give me something that I'm going to be happy about in the next week. Like, well, we got baseball coming. Opening day of baseball is coming. Or, oh, maybe Andrew's going to pitch Friday. Or, you know, like I almost have this built-in defense system that helps me, you know, kind of take the shock of Illinois losing and then moving on to something more positive. But luckily, the Illini figured it out and, of course, ran away from Morehead State. Again, outscoring the Eagles 46-31 in the second half. A huge game for Terrence Shannon, 26 points. A big game for Dane Danger, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 9 for 9 for the floor. And then, of course, Marcus Damask, a triple-double in 36 minutes. Now they face Duquesne. You brought up a good point with their one of their guards and the idea that, you know, we've kind of gotten away with it. It really hasn't been a storyline this year, Kyle, with point guard for Illinois. Marcus Damask has taken over that role. By the way, I didn't give a shout-out to Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn.
Mm-hmm.
How big were those two shots? First of all, how big is it that the staff decided to throw him out there? And then just with no problems, he just takes two confident threes and drills them both that were huge in the aspect of where that game was at the time. So congrats to DGL. I did see his mom tweeted out that she loves all Illini fans. So we're all back on it. We're back. All friends again.
Yeah.
Everybody's friends. Let's all have a beer.
Oh my goodness.
But bring up your point about Clark. They're good guard for Duquesne and what he likes to do.
Well, they've got two good guards. One of them, though, Jimmy Clark, really good perimeter defender, kind of a pest. He's smaller, only 6'3", but top 10 in the country in steals, had four of them against BYU. I would imagine that he is really going to try to put some pressure on Damask and really pick him up and try to be that pest and try to poke the ball away. We've seen Damask get his pocket picked a couple times when he's trying to get into some action over half court. And so I'd imagine that Duquesne's probably going to try to put Clark on him and try to not let him get into those, you know, booty ball actions and get into those back downs, because Damask will have a size advantage on any guard that Duquesne really matches up with him on. But Jimmy Clark, I think, is a guy who could try to, you know, force some turnovers and be kind of that pesty type, and that's kind of what he's been all season. And Duquesne as a team, top 30 in the country in defensive efficiency. They've kind of won games all season, these slow grinder games in the 60s, and they're good defensively, but I don't think they've seen Damask. I don't think they've seen Shannon. They haven't seen an offense like Illinois. And so if Illinois can play at their pace and break down that defense, Illinois should have a pretty good chance.
It's amazing how powerful Illinois can be offensively.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, what, those three Big Ten tournament games, did they score over 90 twice?
Yep.
And then 85 yesterday, and it's like, holy cow. Like, now, if they don't score 80, you're sitting there thinking, well, that was weird. I mean, that's just not – you don't take that for granted. That doesn't happen every year. I mean, their offensive – firepower and efficiency is second to none. And of course, we've talked about it all year. I think they're still top five in the country in offensive efficiency. The guy that makes Duquesne go is Day-Day Grant. Yesterday, 6 of 15 from the field. So kind of unefficient, if you will, but had 19 points in that one and 2 assists. He's a guy you're going to have to lock down on. And certainly he and Clark both, again, like a texter said earlier, two kind of bigger guards. That stronger guards, at least, that Illinois will have to really focus on. So I'm going to let, honestly, Derek Piper explain more about Duquesne at 4:30, because I watched him against BYU, but I was more like just nervous for the Illini game and not really scouting Duquesne, if you will. So, but the Dukes, certainly a team, solid team. They'll come in, what, 25-11?
They've won 9 in a row.
Okay, so on fire and feeling good. And that's big if you come in with confidence. But after winning the Big Ten tournament, after winning at Iowa, winning the Big Ten tournament, and then winning yesterday, I don't know why Illinois wouldn't be just as confident, if not more. All right, I'm going to sneak out of here, Kyle.
You want to do one thing before you get out? It's a Friday.
Oh, it is Friday. Hey, yeah, heck yeah. Let's celebrate an Illini win And, of course, get you ready for the weekend with Illinois at 7:40 tip against Duquesne tomorrow. Congrats to the Illini on winning game one of the NCAA tournament. Hopefully we're doing this again next week in congratulating Illinois getting to the Elite Eight. That would be fine with me. But for now, let's hit it.
Happy hour.
And today's like 60 degrees. It's just beautiful. It's like snowing up north, though, right? Like your parents are getting like snow and just bad weather. Kyle, thanks for doing this next hour. You're going to come back, play some post-game for Illinois. I want to hear that on my drive. And then Derek Piper just texted me, said he's all good to join you at 4:30. So I appreciate you, my friend. Everybody have a great weekend. Let's get to the Sweet 16, shall we? We're out of here for this hour. It is The Drive.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Firestone Tires can make all the difference on the road. Drive with confidence. Plus, take advantage of the road-ready financing options. Get the tires and services you need now and pay over time. Your vehicle will thank you for the upgrade. Since 1917, Clay Dooley Tire and Auto has been committed to helping you drive with confidence. Just off Neal Street, call 217-352-4286.
Clay Dooley Tire and Auto. Proven, trusted, your friends and family.
Loud and clear, you better. Good vibes.
Good vibes. Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And I'm Luke Goody from your men's basketball team. Steve, I have a question.
Shoot!
We've talked about Sony, but I know you have LG and Samsung too. Aren't they all kind of the same?
Ah, that's a tough one. Samsung is famous for their bright, colorful picture and the frame TV.
They look like art, right? What about LG?
Okay, Sony invented OLED, but LG perfected OLED manufacturing. That efficiency makes LG the number one selling OLED TV in the country, and their build quality is excellent.
Yeah, they're really flat too. So, why Sony?
Sony makes movies, cameras, monitors. Accurate image is crucial. Colors, skin tones, contrast, motion handling are just some of what Sony does better. Sony buys panels from Samsung and LG and improves them with their own video processing.
Wait, a Sony might have an LG screen?
Yeah, or even Samsung. You've heard how a great coach can take your team and beat his?
I get it. Sony can use other guys' parts and still make a winning product?
All to get that red hair just the right shade and no blur on the swish.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.